Hey guys, welcome to the Dirty Giants podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, just before we start, I just wanted to ask you guys if you have a second, if you'll leave a review on whatever platform you're listening to the podcast on. That helps a lot. We have Landon Whitwer of Strip Crew on with us. And Landon's just a super good hunter. I think he's one of the best hunters around, especially recently. It just seems like whenever he shows up, there's always a big buck around and big bucks start to die. So I'm super excited to talk to him. There's a lot to learn from him. And let's go ahead and get right started. Thanks for getting on, Landon.
Yeah, you bet. Well, thanks for having me.
So one thing I kind of noticed, it just seems like once you show up, big deer start dying. Like, what do you feel like you're kind of doing that maybe other hunters aren't, or what do you feel like gets these big deer on the ground?
It helps having lots of good help. I mean, it ain't all me doing this stuff. I got a lot of buddies. I got a lot of family members that know what they're doing. My dad, brother-in-laws, and just good friends all the way around. Guys that know how to kill deer and that are patient. I think that's a big part of it, just being patient. Even though you're not seeing them, they're usually there. Just take sitting on them sometimes. And every once in a while, you got to get a little aggressive and go track them. But I don't feel like we're doing anything different. We just stay out hunting for the most part.
So yeah. Well, whatever you're doing is definitely working. And I mean, if you're good with it, I kind of want to get right into a couple stories. There's a lot of stories I want to hear. So you had a tag yourself this year, which I guess is kind of out of the norm probably because you're guiding a lot. But do you mind kind of telling us that story?
Yeah, so I had a late muzzleloader tag here in Utah last year. I didn't have a whole lot of time to scout, and not the time that I wanted to, just because it is leading right up to the strip hunts. You know, we're hunting in November, and that muzzleloader tag started last week, October, and rolled through November. And busy time of year for me, but, you know, I talked to a lot of guys that hunted that rifle hunt and a lot of guys that spend a lot of time on that unit, and everybody had the same news for me. Like, there just wasn't any big deer. That nobody had a big buck for me that got away from them, whether they didn't want to tell me about it. But I don't know. Nobody had a big buck story, and I was getting pretty kind of down on my tag, really. I'd burnt 14 bonus points on it, and I just thought it was going to be a good year, and I wanted a tag somewhere, so I decided to do it, and drew the tag, scouted zero until 3 days before my hunt started. I started scouting and figured the deer had moved into where they should be. They might be ruddy if I'm lucky, and the first trip out, I didn't find anything, but I think 2 days before my hunt started, I glassed a buck up at 2+ miles away. You know, he looked good, but I didn't know how good. I thought he was close to 200, maybe 195. But the cool thing was when I glassed him up that day, I seen him by himself. He's just barely popped up over a ridge. And I just picked him up, and there's three deer, a doe and two fawns, about 400 yards away from him. And when he topped out, man, he took off trotting across this flat to that doe and two fawns. Like, yeah. He just found deer, you know. He wanted to go rut. And I was excited about that. That was the first bit of rut activity I'd seen. And he went down there and stayed with them does, freaking lip curling, chasing around in circles. And I just thought, all right, he'll be here. You know, he's going to be right here open in the morning. If I don't find anything bigger, I'll come hunt him. And didn't end up finding a better buck or anything even close to it. So we were in there open in the morning, me and my dad did. And just like he was supposed to be, we get up on the big hill, first light, and there's the buck with the does.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just exactly like you'd hope for it. But I will say he was about 400 yards into some property that I couldn't hunt. But I thought about it. Yeah, I know. So I had to sit and wait. But I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I've heard of guys rattling mule deer, and I've never seen it really work. But
what?
But I'll sneak. I thought I'll sneak down off this hill, and get, you know, 200 yards off the fence and get set up, and I'm going to start rattling these horns. So I got set up down there under a cedar tree and started rattling. Dad's talking to me. He's like, man, he don't care at all. Like, he's not even looking at you. And I just sat there and thought, I'm like, how the heck am I going to get this thing out of that chunk of ground I can't hunt? And I thought, you know what, I've done a ton of coyote calling in my day, and a lot of times you'll go down, start calling, and heck, a herd of deer will come trotting in. Just come see what you are, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started trying to make a fawn in distress or a rabbit call. I don't even know what I was trying to sound like, but I started squealing my voice. I didn't have a coyote call or nothing. I just started squealing.
Yeah.
And Dad says, heck, they're coming. They're on a rope to you. Them does are lying down trotting to you. And so I'm sitting there, and I can barely see the top of this fence. I told Dad, I said, make sure you let me know when they cross the fence. I don't want to see the buck and shoot him on the wrong side because I can't tell which side he's on. I can just barely see the top of it. Said, all right. Sure enough, doe jumps the fence. I can't see her where I set up. I couldn't see where they were coming from very good. First doe jumps the fence. Fawns come through the fence. And all of a sudden, Dad says, oh, buck just come through. You're legal. Freaking hammer down when you get a shot. I'm like, all right. So I got this fence. Of the water I bought, supposed to shoot 600 yards, and here these deer are coming. I'm going to have about a 125-yard shot.
What? This is crazy. I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. This was, it was, it got kind of western, but freaking doe pops up, like I said, 125 yards, and she pops right up in the open. Two fawns pop up right next to her, and the buck pops up. All I can see is his eye guards up. I can't see any hair on him. I can just see his horns.
Uh-huh.
This is the first really good look I've got at him. You know, like I said, I looked at him 2 miles away 2 days before, and so I cranked my scope up as high as it would go on that muzzleloader. I'm sitting there looking at him. I'm like, man, he's everything's tall, everything's deep. There's kind of spindly in the back end is what I was thinking for some reason. I couldn't see his bases real good.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know what happened, but that doe flipped around and took off running like crazy. I don't know if the wind swirled a little bit or if she caught a glint of my scope or something happened and she didn't like it. She took off running back, jumped the fence. Buck takes off running. Dad says, run up there and get a good look at him. So I just sprint up there with my binos, left my gun there under the tree, and he's 200 yards away, stops and looks at me. I'm like, holy crap, that buck's 205 plus, you know. Big old heavy bases, good eye guards. I'm like, I got to kill this thing.
Yeah. So that's like the first point you're like, holy, this is a big buck.
Oh, like, yeah.
Obviously, he was big, but this is like, he confirmed he's over 200. He's big, big.
He was worth weight and all them bonus points at that point. I figured.
Yeah.
The day I seen him scouting, when I glassed him up, he was off there with the does, you know, but there was two other bucks that come up a trail, so I mean, I didn't get to shoot at him right then. There was nothing I could do about it, but I glassed up two other bucks that morning scout, and I watched them walk up this little cut, and they come out on the public land, and then they jump back into that piece I couldn't hunt, but they went right up to that my other group of bucks, and I thought, you know, I wonder what them deer were doing. And so after I buggered them and everything happened, I walked down, I cut that trail, and I'm like, man, this is a beaten trail. And like, they're going down to the water from here. And they would come out of the stuff, go about 600 yards on public, and jump back into the other side where I couldn't hunt them. And anyways, I figured that next night, or that night, I'd just kind of sit that trail and hope they come out and go to water. It's real ledgy right there where they were at. I didn't think they could get down off in very many places.
Uh-huh.
And so I sat that trail. Nothing come by that night. Next morning, same game plan, but I started off down in the low, down where the deer were, because I wanted to be on that trail at first light in case they walked past me.
Right.
That trail, Dad glassed everything we could see, and there was no buck. And it's like, well, crap. You know, they must be a little deeper today than they were. I walked out to the end of the fence, and I could see way down this canyon where the trail went. Pull up my binos, and there's the buck and the doe 500 yards away from me again. And I just sat there, man. These deer are coming right up the trail, just exactly like I'd planned for them to do. And I just sat on that trail, and sure enough, I got to watch him for like 3 hours that morning.
And really?
He's a doe, working a doe, freaking she comes right up, jumps the fence, freaking goes around a little saddle. So they're on the public side now. They go through this little kind of horseshoe in the canyon.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't see them real good, but I was like, ah, they're coming up the trail to me. I know they are. And I sit there for like an hour and a half. Heck, it's getting to be almost 11 o'clock in the morning, and they never come up the trail.
So you haven't seen them at all for like an hour.
Oh, I've been sitting on these deer since daylight till 11, and there's no way they got back out the bottom. I know I didn't booger them. And anyway, I finally called my dad. I said, you need to come down here and walk down this fence line. When you hit the bottom, walk up the bottom, you're going to kick these deer right to me. I was like, I'll bet you money they ended up bedding on that little north face down there. Got tucked in some shade and just never came all the way up on top. He circled down around, freaking walked right up. He said he didn't go 50 yards, and then deer jumped up. And, dude, they ran right to me. I shot that buck at 90 yards.
Okay.
It was pretty freaking cool. I never felt that confident that I knew exactly what a deer was going to do until that day. It's just a country that we've spent a lot of time in, and I just felt like we knew exactly what they were going to do. There was no guessing for some reason. Usually I'm freaking reaching for straws and wondering what the heck they're doing, but I knew they're on that trail at some point. It might take 5 days, but I knew we'd get them there as long as he didn't walk it in the dark.
Gee, that's crazy. That's so cool, like, you and your dad, like, killed them together, too, like that.
It was a teamwork thing. I probably could have snuck down off them rocks, but, man, if I'd have jumped them and they ran back into that country again, I'd have been so pissed, you know?
Right.
And it worked out perfect. It was just steep enough, too. Like, them deer couldn't hardly run. It was just steep. They get a couple of bounds in and almost have to stop and catch their breath. And he trotted right up to me and stopped broadside. I'm laying across the big old boulder. Don't even have to have my shooting sticks out. Like, just standing up, shooting off a rock.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I should have waited another 80 yards and shot him when he got to the top. Instead, I shot him when he was in the deep, nasty trap. But other than that, it was all really good.
That is so cool. It's crazy how patient you were, too. Like, I think a lot of people would have start getting antsy and make a mistake, but like you said, you were confident what they were going to do, and you made it happen.
I was still pissed I didn't kill him when I was using the coyote call, though. I still think that would have been that neater.
That is so crazy. I think I would have been too nervous. Like, I would have been like, oh, I'm going to blow him out of the country, but, I mean, obviously it kind of worked, so...
It was stuff that, like I said, I couldn't go over there and shoot him, you know. He's on the wrong side of the fence, and it was just, like, I got to try something. I can't just sit here and let him stand over there where I can't do nothing. And surprisingly, it worked. That's the first and only time I've ever done it on purpose.
That is so funny. That's a cool story. So you walk up to him, and then you're like, you kind of realize, yeah, he's a pretty special deer.
Yeah, he actually grew on me even more than I thought. I knew he was big enough to shoot. I always want bigger, but I knew he was big enough to shoot. And when I walked up on him, I'm like, holy crap, like, everything on him's, it's not just good, like, everything's super long. And then the mass, and I don't know, I didn't even know what I had shot. I knew he was a freaking awesome buck, and then I start pulling tape, and I start coming up with numbers like 214, and I'm just like, what the heck? This thing's, he's a 5x6, you know, with little cheaters, nothing big. He's a 204 frame, and I don't know. He added up in a hurry. There's no doubt about it. I like getting to look at him. Well,
I remember you sent me the picture, and he's in the back of the truck, and his fours are just, like, insane. Like, mass, yeah. And then they almost go, it looks like they're almost as tall as his twos in the back.
They might be, honestly. I think that's the only thing that's not super long is the G2s. The G4s are pretty dang close. But I have to sit here and turn around and look at them up on the wall right now while we're talking.
That is so cool. That's such an awesome buck. And to, I think it's kind of cool, too, like, you kind of gambled on that tag somewhat, like you said at the first, that you knew you wanted to hunt that year because it was going to maybe be a good moisture year and stuff, and you drew what you had the points to draw and then made it happen.
I think, you know, the more I do this, I think you need to hunt the country that you know how to hunt, you know. You go out here on these big units, like I've hunted the Pawn Sagunt with my father-in-law, and we don't know nothing about that country. I've never been there in my life, and we got our butts kicked, you know, about 10 years ago. But you go hunt where you know how to hunt, and you can do pretty dang good.
Yeah, well, I mean, your buck's like first-hand experience of that. Like, you knew exactly what he was going to do. You probably knew areas that potentially held big bucks, and you just kind of covered the country until you found something that was special.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I had to cover the entire unit, you know. You knew places where we'd found big sheds or we'd seen big deer up before, and I felt like I had five or six spots that I really had to look at. And I mean, that tag still, I think it's a great tag. I had a lot of fun on it. Granted, I killed a pretty dang good buck, too, so
Yeah, super good. That's crazy. That's cool. That's actually a sweet story. I didn't know that's how it all went down. That's the first time I've ever heard it. So,
the one thing I do know is, even though I guide and all that, I still get buck fever pretty bad. I think I about broke the trigger off that gun when I shot.
Oh.
Forgot to aim. I think the crosshairs touched him, and I jerked that thing like you wouldn't believe. I can't believe it. It was supposed to.
Oh, that's funny. Well, when he's at 90 yards, you've been waiting for him all day. I'm sure that even adds more to it.
Yep, it did. There's no doubt about it.
Sweet. So, if you're good with it, I want to. I mean, you killed it on the strip again this past year. I mean, I would say it was a good year, but maybe not a great year on the strip, but you helped kill two bucks over 220, I mean, 230 bucks, right?
Yeah, we did end up killing a couple of really good bucks out there. You know, we put a ton of time in scouting this last year. Just hit it super hard. And we found a lot of good bucks. You know, you go to the strip and you want a 230 buck, you know, you want that 220 plus, and I can't say that we found a lot of deer like that. We did find quite a few bucks over the 200 inch mark last year, and we were excited. We had a lot of good bucks that guys would be happy with, but we want those 230 bucks, and we had a buck that we'd been looking for. A kid actually posted some video of him, and we kind of figured out where he was from the year before, and we're like, no, he did. He was like a 220 buck the year before. One of the kids with an archery tag. You know, now that we don't have trail cameras, you don't get every little bit of info, but there's enough information out there if you keep your eyes open and your ears that you can find some of them giants on accident. But no, we had an idea where he was. We looked for his sheds, and some kid from Cedar ended up picking up his browns on the strip, which blew my mind. Nobody ever finds brown horns on the strip.
Right.
We got, huh?
I said, yeah, you're right. It's crazy.
Yeah, so we got beat to the shed, and, like, it kind of pissed me off. I was like, gosh dang it. You know, that was the one buck I really wanted to find, but, oh, well, guess we'll find something else. But we put a lot of time into looking for him. Actually ended up finding one of the bucks we killed while we were summer scouting, glassed him up. I thought he was 210 plus. You know, I knew he was big. And I just didn't think he was giant, but I knew he was big when we seen him. And only seen him the one time. We did get another look at him. But we found another really good buck up high that I thought we had a good chance of killing. I always kind of like to hunt the more killable deer if I can, you know. Just up your odds that much more. Easier country to kill.
Thanks.
And, yeah, you, just give yourself a better chance. They live in a flat sea of cedar trees. You might not ever see them, you know?
Yeah.
So we ended up hunting a different buck. Day two, we watched him get shot pretty much right in front of us. We got on him at first light and snuck down in. We had him at 650 yards, tried to get set up for a shot, and it just didn't pan out. Like, I don't feel comfortable taking that far of a shot anyways. And he was not perfect set up on the gun. We're like, you know what, let's just wait it out. He's with does. Let's get down in closer. We'll let him bed. You know, we'll get this thing killed.
Yeah. So
we flip off the, get right down in, and we actually see the buck kind of go out the back away from the does. And I was like, dude, if we just slip between him and his does, he'll be back this evening. And so we slid down in there, freaking laid on a rock under a tree all day long. And freaking, I don't know, hour before dark, we hear a gunshot 500 yards down the valley by the pond. We're like, no way, dude. Like, that can't be. We go freaking running down there, and sure enough, they just killed the buck that we were after. And I'm just like, gosh, you know, let the wind out of our... It sucked. We got to him. But that next morning, I'm sitting in camp, and Travis has, like, all the, oh, what do you call it, Starlink and that, so you got internet. We're sitting in camp on the strip with internet, which is weird, but I start scrolling through. I get that video that kid had posted, and I walk in my hunter's camp into his tent, and I said, you know, this is the deer we're going to go kill today. He's like, what are you talking? Like, you haven't even showed me this deer. I'm like, well, it's because I've looked for him a lot, and I haven't been able to find him, but we're going to go kill him today. And he's just like, oh, okay, whatever you say, you know. And so we jump in the truck, and I'd seen a big track on this pond, like, I don't know, a week before the hunt started. And I thought, we're going to go down. We're going to freaking cruise up this little draw. There, you can't see anything right here by this pond. It's just so thick. But I thought, we'll just ease up through here right at first light in the truck. I told him, I said, we're just going to freaking bail out of the truck and shoot this thing. It's so thick that that's the only way you're going to kill him. And we pull down through there, and all my plans go right out the window like they usually do. You don't see anything. Freaking nothing worked like I told them it would.
Yeah.
So we roll through all that thick crap, and I'm like, nah, let's go out here and glass into this open country. And we roll out into that stuff and start glassing down these canyons. You know, it's a little later in the morning. Glass this buck up at like 1,000 yards, bedded in the bottom of this canyon. And we're sitting there looking at him. I'm like, man, I can see an extra. I didn't even put my spotter on him. I just seen him through my 15s. I'm like, he's a good buck, you know.
Yeah.
And his buddy throws a spotter on him, and he's like, man, he looks really good. Like, you think we ought to go look? And the hunter, he's like, I don't know. He's kind of crabby in the back. And I'm like, yeah, but he's heavy, and he's got extra, man, on the strip. Like, that's the kind of stuff that gets you in trouble. He might be big, you know. And he's kind of hum-hawing about it. We end up slipping down there. I said, let's go down and get a look at him at 200 yards. So we walked down the canyon. We should have left somebody sitting on the deer, but we didn't. We all just went down because, really, I didn't think we were going to shoot him. You know, the hunter acted like he didn't like him. I didn't think he looked that big.
Yeah. And
we slipped down in there. It's blowing like crazy, and we walked right down to him. There's only, like, five trees on this hill. It's all just wide open burnt trap, you know. Didn't feel like the deer could get away from us right there. We pop over the ridge, and there's no deer. I'm like, where the heck did he go? So I drop in the canyon. I walk up the bottom, try to kick him up out of it. Never see him. I'm just like, well, guess it's not meant to be, you know. When we finish out hunting that morning, hunting that evening, don't see nothing. The next morning we roll in, and we kind of start out in the burn at first light. Pull up on this ridge, I glass out the dang truck window, and there's a doe and a fawn standing over there. He keeps kind of looking down in the bottom of the draw at something.
And yeah.
His friend, he's like, dude, there's a buck. There's got to be a buck. That doe just keeps acting. We sat there for 5-10 minutes and never seen a buck come out of the draw. Continue on our way, and we get down the end of the road, and we start coming back. We says, Chris, we need to go check on that doe again, don't we? He's like, yes, there's got to be a freaking buck there. And I throw my binos up, and there's this freaking giant buck bedded in the bottom of the draw up under a ledge, right below that doe. We just couldn't quite see it from where we stopped the first time. And no. I didn't even know. No, and I didn't even know which buck it was. I was just like, that thing's giant. Mass for days. I couldn't even see the extras because they were all just gobbed together. But I was like, that's a freaking strip buck. We're killing that thing. And we leave Chris on the spot and scope. We run off the hill. And we're just about to top out. Chris freaking hollers at us. Says, hey, just got up.
No way.
Yeah, dude, there's one tree right there. We top out like 120 yards from this thing. And he's just standing there. I'm like, holy crap, there he is, dude. Freaking, there's your buck. Still haven't even, I haven't critiqued this deer, haven't looked at points, nothing. I just tell you, the giant. We just need to kill him. One of those no-brainer deer. And so he freaking put the herd on him, went shooting, and I called Chris on the radio. I'm like, please tell me that thing had the inlines that I think he has. He's like, yep, he's got two of them. He's got two in one fork and then another in the other. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you guys have any idea what we just did? I was like, that's the deer from the video this morning. We finally found him, you know. It took us all year, but he was finally standing there when we had a gun in our hands, and we got him killed.
That was the buck you were out there for. That was the Instagram buck.
That's the deer we spent all year looking for. All the sheds, the summer scouting, never seen him. And there he was, right exactly where you wanted him, in the crosshairs, you know?
Jeez.
But the funny thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Sorry, go.
So we end up killing that buck, freaking go down in. We're all wound up. We go back to camp and tell Travis, we're like, we passed a pretty good buck, you know. You guys need to get out there and check him out, you know, this other buck, now that we're done, you know. And so we send him and another hunter in there, and they go right into where we'd seen him, freaking glass him up with just a little bit of daylight left, I guess. End up making about a 500-yard shot on this buck, and they knew he was good. They thought he was right there close to 200, and they end up freaking walking down there, and there's another 230-inch deer laying on the ground. We've killed two bucks. You know, one's 229, and I think the other's 236 or something within a day. And within 1,000 yards of each other was the crazy thing. Both these bucks were so close.
Jeez. So they killed the buck that you guys spotted the day before, bedded. From a ways away.
Yep.
Wow.
Just wild. And, like, I keep looking back at that. I'm like, I don't know why we didn't just freaking run down there and kill. We should have left somebody sitting there watching him while we walked down, because I guarantee he just got up and walked around the end of the hill. And we should have killed that buck and never killed the buck that we did, you know. We should have. The way it worked out was awesome. I still can't believe that it worked out the way it did, to pass a buck that big and not just be idiots and kill a bigger deer, you know?
That's crazy. I didn't know that went down that way either. That is crazy. So close.
You know, I misjudged that deer twice that year.
Really?
No, like I said, I seen him in velvet. And it was early, you know, it was probably this time of year, middle of July. And I thought he was like 210, but, man, he's so much bigger. The mass that deer had and that extra point that comes off the back, you know, the angle I seen him in velvet, it looked like it was a 4-inch extra that come off. It doesn't look like a 15-inch weird basal point that comes off from down by his eye guard, you know.
Yeah. That is so cool. And
he's one of the
you started looking right there because of an Instagram post, but you knew the strip good enough to be able to tell where that video was probably taken.
Yeah, I mean, the kid had kind of posted that he had a 13B archery tag and this and that, and, you know, you just got to be careful what you put out there on the old Instagram. Everybody's watching you.
Yeah, for sure. That's some good tips right there. Man, that's cool. So you've probably been out a couple times this year. What, I mean, it kind of started to be a wet year, but then it's been dry. Like, what, how do you think it's going to be this year out on the strip?
You know, I'm not jumping up and down for joy. I've talked to some guys that know their stuff that are a little more optimistic than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense what they're thinking. You know, you go back to not this winter, but the winter before. We had a lot of snow, you know, a lot of moisture. We had a good monsoon. And, you know, last year was decent. And then you roll into this year, and it's kind of almost like it's all compiling together just right. I know the spring hasn't been super wet. Like you said, it feels like it's been dry for 90 days, you know. That's what I'm doubting. I feel like we had a good mild winter with quite a bit of moisture. I do know, like, the buck brush out there, up until lately, a lot of it still had flowers on it, you know, which surprised me that I was seeing all the flowers. They usually burn off pretty quick, and I didn't know what to think. I'm optimistic, but I don't think it's going to be off the charts by any means. I do agree with those guys that kind of the last winter, and, you know, maybe the rut wasn't super hard on them last year because they didn't really rut crazy hard last year. It didn't seem like there was some, but you didn't have every buck in the country. Like, you look at the Kaibab the year before, every freaking deer was dying out there because they were just rutting like crazy, you know, burning all sorts of energy.
Yeah.
And they killed a lot of big deer a year before last on the Kaibab, and I don't, you know, I was out there on the Kaibab this year, and I don't feel like the rut was off the charts, you know. I feel like it was more relaxed, and it made sense to me that maybe they didn't burn quite as much energy during the rut, and they had a nice mild winter with a fairly good, the spring started out good, you know.
Right.
They ought to be in good shape. So it should be good. Like I said, I don't think it'll be anywhere like the 2019 type of year where it rained into the middle of June. But
it's
going to be a decent year. So I wish we'd have got one good storm in May, but you can't have it all.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was starting to look good. Then, like you said, it's just been dry, but I guess we'll find out how it goes.
Yeah, but it's coming.
Another thing I kind of wanted to talk to you about, I was curious about just like the trail cameras out on the strip. Do you feel like there's more like younger bucks getting shot because of that, or do you think like more bucks can slip through the cracks, or maybe it's weeded out some of the guides that just relied on trail cameras, so you have to actually spend some real time out there to know where the deer are? Or what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I do think it definitely changed the standards out there. Before, guys would show up in camp and they're like, I want to see the biggest picture you got, you know, and you'd show them that 250 buck. And I'm hunting that deer or nothing. And every outfitter out there had the same picture of that deer, you know.
Right.
So you'd have eight hunters hunting that buck that were all hell bent that it's this buck or nothing, and you're gonna kill that deer, you know. That you got eight outfitters that know what they're doing, that know how to kill deer and know how to get them found. They're gonna kill. Some places are tougher than others. Still, even though it's a strip, there's places that are hard to kill, so sometimes it'd take 2 or 3 years to kill that deer. But I do think, like, now guys show up the strip and they're going to be tickled pink after about 5 days for a 200-inch deer, you know. That it's not what it was on the – we had a lot of guys that were dead set on 240, 250, or they didn't want nothing. And now you get guys showing up and they haven't seen a good buck for 3 or 4 days of the hunt because it's the strip and you don't see deer. And when they finally see a decent buck, they're ready to kill it. They're like, this place sucks. Because they just don't have that confirmation, I guess. I don't know. They haven't been looking at that picture all year long until their hunt started.
Yeah. That makes sense. So, it's I guess a lot harder to go on and pass.
I guess
you don't know for sure.
Right. And so it probably does kill some younger deer that way, but I do think you got some deer that are going to live on the strip and never get shot. They might never get seen. Hopefully I find their sheds, but, you know.
Isn't that kind of cool to think about, though? Like, I mean, to me, it's, like, kind of magical. Like, there could be a 280 buck out there that no one's even seen. And
well, that was what threw me to the strip was the mystery, you know. You never knew what you were going to find when I first started going out there. And then we went to the trail camera, and it was like, all right, we're going to look for this buck sheds. And we'd put 15 trips into that buck, or we're going to hunt that buck. And now it's a lot more, I don't know, it's just fun having a little bit of mystery out there, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. That's sweet.
I don't know. I do kind of miss knowing every deer out there, but I'll take the bad. I enjoy hunting out there more now. Everybody's not standing on each other's toes, you know. Everybody's just hunting again, whether they found it summer scouting, and maybe they're the only ones that seen that deer. And I just don't feel like you have the pressure in one area like you used to. You don't have everybody climbing on top of each other. It's been a lot more fun.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, that does kind of make it fun. You wish that you were the one guy that could run cameras out there and know everything, but...
Right.
So, I kind of have this question for you, like if you had, I mean, it not necessarily the strip, but let's just say you had an archery tag and you wanted to kill the biggest deer on the unit or just, like, one of the top tier deer, like, how would you go about that, like, scouting, and, like, how would you put the time in, and, like, what would that look like? Because it seems like no matter where you go, whether it's the strip, the kayabab, your late muzzleloader hunt, like, you're turning up big, big deer.
I don't know exactly what my secret is to that. I do know on the strip, you know, I've been running around the strip since I was 5 years old, but... Freaking other places, I feel like you just kind of, I jump in the truck a lot of times, man. You freaking take off running, head out the window, just cruising around, checking out the country, look for a big track, look for stuff that you've seen big deer in before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got to try to reinvent the wheel so much. You get an idea of where you found deer, and I know there seems to be certain country that really holds big deer, and other places, you know, there might be a lot of deer, but you'll never see a big deer there for some reason. And I don't know, I feel like I like the more outlying part of the units. I've never been big on hunting the popular areas. I kind of go hunt the desert, the crap, but there just ain't no deer. And for some reason, I seem to find bigger deer in that kind of country. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe places that deer can die of old age.
Yeah, I think that's your big thing, just finding where there could be some age class. That's the biggest thing. You're never going to kill a giant two-year-old, you know. You got to get a 5 or 6-year-old buck to kill a big deer. And I do think there's a lot of guys drive right past a big old freaking fat track in the road or something like that I feel like I'm always watching for when I'm out, but... And then the other thing, just talk to everybody you know. You'd be amazed how many guys will help you out when you draw a tag, especially in these harder-to-draw units. You know, you don't have to have a guide, but if you know some people or anything like that, you can talk to everybody you know, whether it's through the, you know, they have these magazines where you can call and talk to referral people and all that. Just a lot of guys will share information with you.
That's some good advice right there. You can just kind of find new spots like that. You can hear rumors and try to check them out. I mean, well, I've told this story before, but my little brother, he's not way into hunting, but he had that late muzzleloader tag, and I was talking to a construction worker, and he told me there's a big deer out out there, but I didn't really think he knew deer, and then it ended up being like a 260 buck, and they killed it with the gov tag, and I should have at least checked it out and stuff more. But.
I think I know exactly which deer you're talking about. Is that the one that got locked up?
I think, yeah. So.
Nope, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But. So, and then to go along kind of with what you said, so you, let's just say like you have a Utah general tag, you find a big track while you're scouting, like what do you do with that? Are you going to go track it out right then? Or if it's season, are you going to throw cameras out? Or are you just going to try and glass it? Like, are you afraid to bump it maybe? Or like, what do you do from there?
I wouldn't take off tracking it right away. I like to, like I said, a little patience. I'll sit back. I'll find two or three good glass signals that are within a mile or two of that track. And, you know, I'll peter around in there and see if I see that track in some other places close by, whether he's coming to water or maybe he's living on this ridge up here, you know, and you can catch his track in a couple of other spots. But I do a lot of my work with the truck. You know, you can cover a lot more ground, and then I feel the same way about having a good pair of optics. You sit back and just glass till your eyes hurt. It helps if you got a buddy or two that'll come help glass with you, because I know how many times you freaking sit on one hill and glass it, and you climb up on that hill three or four different times, and then all of a sudden there he is. You know, it's like, where was he the other four times I glassed, because he's standing right here today.
Yeah.
You feel like you're chasing your tail sometimes, you know, if you're just by yourself, you freaking go out and you glass this spot and you go to that spot and you're like, why can't I find where this thing is? You know, I've seen his track. I know he's here. Is he just nocturnal or what? And I don't know. I feel like you just got to have, it helps to have some help. That's for dang sure.
Yeah. No, that's really good advice. I mean, so, and then another thing I kind of wanted to talk to you about, I mean, I kind of said it before we started recording, but like, I think this is something you're really good at. I had a really good deer found on my hunt this last year, and I hunted them for like 14 days straight. And then I just gave up kind of, and I went and I accidentally killed another deer. Not accidentally, but it was just, I felt so bad about killing that deer because I had a way bigger deer found. I mean, how do you keep motivated? And like, it seems like you're able to kind of stick it out when things get tough, and like, do you have any tricks or tips for that?
On your hunt, I can't say too much because I gave up on that same hunt with a bow, so I didn't kill anything. At least you killed a deer. I don't know, man. I feel like I've been around enough big deer, and I know what I want, and I just know that I'm not going to shoot anything less. I'll go home without shooting a deer. I don't have to kill something. And I think that's the biggest thing. You just have to have it in your mind. You know, I've watched my dad for years. I still think I've only watched him shoot one deer in my entire life that I could think of. And he only shot that because I'd spent freaking 20 days scouting with him and 9 days of a 10-day hunt with him on the Henrys. And he shot a 185 buck. Because it was like, man, we put a lot of work in this not to kill something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched him burn so many tags through the years, though. You know, the last deer he shot was a big one in 2018, you know, and he just doesn't, that I can think of. He might have killed something else, but. And then before that, I remember him shooting a big deer in 2010. It's like, you know, that's a big gap, 2010 to 2018. You know, you don't have to. You never know. You might see that deer that you wanted to kill the last day. And so you treat it like a lifetime of hunting instead of just that deer hunt kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good advice. And I was even telling you before in the podcast, like, man, I never want to shoot a mediocre deer again. Like, I want to try to kill big deer or nothing. I think that's kind of like the difference. Cause, like you said, you had that archery tag, and you didn't kill a deer, but you were able to kind of like hunt every day you could and have the chance to still kill a deer, and you left the hunt knowing that if you had a chance, you could have killed that deer. And I guess that's what kind of eats me with that tag is, yeah, maybe I hunted them for 14 days, but I still had some time. And if I wouldn't have shot that deer, maybe, like you said, I would have seen my big deer on the last day and killed him, and things would have been a little different. So I think that's really good.
The biggest thing is you can't kill him if you shoot a smaller deer, you know. You might not kill the deer at all, but you can't kill him if you shoot a different one. So
right.
I feel like you just kind of flip the switch on that to where you don't care to kill him so much. You just want the buck that you want, and it kind of sinks in.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. I mean, I think you're 100% right, and I guess that's why you're killing 210-plus deer on your tags and helping people kill giants. So.
I don't even know how some of it happened, to tell you the truth, man. I think I'm just lucky. I still believe that.
Well, you always need a little luck, so.
Yep, comes in hand.
Well, sweet. So before we end, so you guide with kind of tell us how people can find you, I guess. Like the strip crew, and then if they have a tag in Arizona, I don't know if you guys are already booked up, but you want to put out there.
So, I mean, yeah, we are booked out already, but if you have a tag and you're trying to do this on your own anywhere in Arizona, north of the river, don't be afraid to call us. Well, if you're wanting to do it by yourself, we'll give you some pointers, you know, just fun to talk, hunt with guys, but you can find us on Instagram, that's at Strip Crew. What the heck is it? Strip_Crew? I don't even know what my name is. Yeah, Strip_Crew. And then we actually guide with the Arizona Strip Guides Zero Guide Fees group. That's actually a really cool program if you're trying to get into this. You don't feel like you can afford guiding, you can get into this program that Travis McClendon's come up with, and you pay a set amount every year. It's like, I want to say $350 a year for this membership, and when you draw, he freaking pays for your hunt, and you get to hunt with guys like me or TJ and Colin that are part of his group, and it's been awesome. We're taking guys that never thought they could have hunted with a guide, you know, because they don't have that 8-10 grand, whatever it costs now for a hunt. To come up with that right now is hard, but you can pay $350 a year, you know, and it definitely makes it affordable for everybody, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool deal that you guys got going there, so definitely something to check out.
But other than that, man, freaking check us out on Instagram and look at some of our bucks and give us a holler when you want to go hunting, I guess.
Perfect. Well, thanks again for being on, Landon. I appreciate it.
Hey, you betcha.
Hey, guys. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback or even people that you think are killers that we need to try to get on the podcast, feel free to reach out. I love to hear back from you guys. Anyways, we'll get another episode out soon. Thanks for listening.